The island that lay just off the shore had changed. James could tell that no individual part of it was different exactly. It was just that what had appeared as totally random trees and bushes a minute before, now, in the silvery moonlight, looked much more like a hidden, ancient structure. There was the unmistakable suggestion of pillars and gates, buttresses and gargoyles, all crafted out of the island's natural growth, as if it were a sort of incredibly complex optical illusion.
"I do not like the look of that joint," Zane said emphatically, his voice low.
James looked further. The group of trees that had fallen across the water connecting the island to the shore had changed as well. James could see that there was order to them. Two of them had fallen together so that they formed what was obviously a bridge. The bridge was even stylized, fashioned to resemble a gigantic dragon's head. A brown rock jutting from the upturned roots served as the eye. Two more trees, only half collapsed, formed the open upper jaw, jutting out over the bridge as if to snap down on anyone that attempted to cross. James walked carefully toward the bridge.
"Hey, you're not going in there, are you?" Zane called. "That doesn't look so healthy to me."
"Come on," James said, not looking back.
"You said you wanted adventure and really wild stuff."
"Well, actually, I think I just want those things in little bitty doses. I had enough with that crazy monster we saw already, if you don't mind."
James skirted an outcropping of bushes and spindly trees and found himself standing at the mouth of the bridge. Closer to, it was even more perfect. There were handrails formed by fallen birches, smooth and easy to grip, and the two trees that formed the floor of the bridge were so close together, with vines and leaves packed between them, that they made an easy walking surface.
"Fine, stay here," James said, not really blaming Zane for his reluctance.
The mystery of it was strangely attractive to James, though. He stepped onto the bridge.
"Ah, sheesh," Zane moaned, following.
On the island side of the bridge, a complicated growth of vines and small trees had formed into a set of tall, ornate gates. Beyond them was impenetrable shadow. As James crept closer, he could see that the vines formed a recognizable pattern across the gates.
"I think it spells something," he said,
his voice almost a whisper.
"Look, it's a poem or a rune or something."
As soon as he was able to make out the first word, the rest sprang into view, as if he just had to train his eye to see it. He stopped and read aloud.
"When by the light of silver bright, I found the grotto keep, before the night of time requite did wake his languid sleep. Upon return the fretted dawn, with not a relic lossing, bygone a life, a new aeon, the hall of Elders Crossing."
Something about the poem made James shudder.
"What does it mean?"
Zane asked when he'd read it over twice. James shrugged.
"Silver is an old word for moon, I know that. I think the first part just means you can only find this place when the moon shines on it. That's got to be true, because when I first saw it in the dark, it just looked like some ugly old island. So this must be the grotto keep, whatever that is."
Zane leaned in.
"What about this part? Upon return, the fretted dawn? Sounds like we're supposed to come back when the sun comes back up, eh?"
"Sounds pretty good to me."
Ignoring Zane, James wrapped his hands around the gates and gave them a hard yank. They rattled woodenly, but didn't budge. The action seemed to trigger a response from the island. A sudden creeping sound came from beneath the boy's feet. James glanced down and then jumped backwards as tendrils of thorny vines grew up from underneath the bridge. The vines twined through the gate, weaving up it with a noise like a newspaper in a fire. The thorns were an ugly purple colour, as if they might contain some sort of venom. They grew longer as James watched. After a minute, the gates were completely entwined with them, obscuring the words of the poem. The noise of their growth died away.
"Well, that settles it then,"
Zane said in a strangely high voice. He was standing behind James, backing away slowly.
"I think this place wants to be left alone, don't you?"
"I want to try one more thing," James said, pulling his wand out from beneath his cloak.
Without really thinking about it, he aimed his wand at the gate.
Alohomora!
There was a streak of golden light, and this time the result was immediate and powerful. The gates repelled the spell, obliterating it in a burst of sparks, and the entire island seemed to shiver, to tense menacingly. There was a sound like 1,000 people suddenly breathing in, and then a voice, an entirely inhuman, swarming sort of voice, spoke.
Get thee hence!
James stumbled backwards at the vehemence of the response, tumbling into Zane and knocking them both to the floor of the bridge. The bridge shuddered beneath them, and then James saw that the gates were swaying, leaning over them. The trees overhead, the ones that were fashioned to appear as the upper jaw of the Dragon's Head Bridge, were creaking down, looming, their broken branches looking more and more like teeth.
Get thee hence!
The island said again. The voice sounded like it was comprised of millions of tiny voices, whispering and raspy, speaking in unison. The floor of the bridge buckled, tearing loose of the shore. The upper jaws crackled and began to collapse, ready to devour the two boys. They scrambled backwards, tumbling wildly over each other, and fell onto the weedy shore just as the bridge ripped loose. The gigantic jaws snapped and gnashed ferociously. Broken branches and bits of bark exploded from the writhing shape, peppering James and Zane as they scuttled away, their hands slipping on dead leaves and pine needles. The ground rumbled under them. Roots began to burrow up from the dirt, tearing the earth apart. James felt the shore disintegrate beneath him. His foot slipped into a sudden hole, and he yanked it out, narrowly avoiding a dirty, carrot-like root that writhed up out of it. He struggled for purchase on the collapsing shore, but it sank beneath him, dragging him back towards the water's edge. The surface of the lake roiled, rushing into the forming sinkhole. The boys' feet splashed into the muck, and it sucked at them, pulling them in. Zane grasped at the shore as he was pulled slowly into the frothing water. James groped for purchase, but nothing seemed solid. Even the tree roots revealed by the crumbling earth grew loose and slippery under his hands, covered in a horrible slime that came off in coats. Then, suddenly, there was Grawp. He dropped to his knees, gripping a nearby tree trunk with one hand and reaching for Zane, who was nearer, with the other. He plucked the boy from the murk and plopped him onto his shoulder. Zane grasped for a handhold on Grawp's shirt as the giant lunged down to retrieve James, who was nearly submerged in the thrashing waters. A horrible, hairy root snaked across the water and curled around James's ankle, yanking him back. He hung there, caught between Grawp's grip and that of the horrid root, and James was sure he'd be torn in half by the force of it.